In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christmas is almost here, and we are compelled to get on with it. For many, the Christmas trees and ornaments have been up quite a while, so let's just light birthday candles and break out presents. Happy birthday, Jesus. Well, but not so fast. Christmas is a 12-day feast beginning December 25. And we need to pace ourselves. Today, the fourth Sunday in Advent, sounds an expectant note in something of a strange key, a kind of prelude to Christmas. A virgin girl conceives, and the son she carries in her womb is the Son of the Most High God. Impossible, you say? No. Nothing is impossible with God. Luke is a good historian. The incarnation of God happened in time and place, and he makes sure to let us know that. This is no legend of the divine child, no myth of things long ago in a land far away. It happened in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. You remember Elizabeth? Perhaps old enough to be your grandmother, now pregnant with a little boy, soon to be named John. And you remember the boy's father, Zechariah, the old priest who was serving at the incense altar when the angel Gabriel popped in with the impossible news that he and Elizabeth would conceive for the first time in their lives. He hasn't spoken a word for the last 6 months because the angel struck him speechless for asking questions that were out of line and not believing that anything is possible with God. Well, it's interesting that Luke mentions twice that it is the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. He probably has something big in mind by telling us this. In 9 more months, Jesus will be born. And 40 days after his birth, Mary and Joseph will bring him to the temple for the first time. If you add up all these months and days, it comes to 490 days, or 70 weeks, from the time that Gabriel appeared to Zechariah in the temple to the time Jesus made his first appearance in the temple. That's precisely the timetable the angel Gabriel gave to the prophet Daniel before, hundreds of years before. Daniel chapter 9 says, 70 weeks are decreed about your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to put an end to sin, and to atone for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal both vision and prophet, and to anoint a most holy place. Impossible, you say? No, nothing is impossible with God. The place is Nazareth in Galilee, a known place in the no place of the land of Zebulun. Nazareth is never mentioned in the Old Testament. Galilee is, though. Galilee of nations, the prophet Isaiah said, the light of Christ would first dawn in darkness. as it says in Isaiah chapter 9. It's not the place you would expect a respectable Messiah or even his mother to come from. The people of Judea despised Nazareth. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nathanael once snorted. You bet he can. Nothing is impossible with God. The angel Gabriel came to Nazareth in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy to pay a visit to a young girl named Mary, who probably was picking out invitations for her wedding day. The angel said, "Greetings, O favored one. The Lord is with you." Mary was troubled. He's struggling enough to see an angel. But what sort of greeting was this? Greetings? It's fine. The Lord is with you? They said that all the time to each other. We hear it in church. But favored one? What did that mean? The angel explained, "You have found favor with God. You will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." So this is what it means to be favored by God. You become pregnant before your wedding day, and the baby is God's son. Not only that, but he is the fulfillment of every promise God has ever made, from the promise offspring of the woman in Genesis 3, to the promise successor of David in 2 Samuel 7, to the virgin who conceives and bears Emmanuel in Isaiah 7. A virgin mother? An eternal king? The son of the Most High God in human flesh? Impossible! But with God, nothing is impossible. How will this be since I am a virgin? Mary asks. Good question. Virgins don't conceive, as a rule. Our sexually cynical world laughs or even dismisses Mary's virginity. That's impossible. We are too scientific, too sophisticated, too street smart to believe a tall tale like that. We may even squirm a bit in our chairs. All this talk seems so unspiritual. But it is at the heart of what we believe, that Jesus is true God, begotten of his Father from eternity, and also true man, born of the Virgin Mary. This is the sinless Son of God become human. He is like us in every way, embracing every aspect of our humanity, from the cradle to the grave, from the womb to the tomb. He is the second Adam, the new head of humanity, embracing all, including the unborn. All this hinges on Mary's virginity. So don't take it lightly. This child of Mary is your substitute, the world's redeemer, who makes his entry into place and time quietly, subversively, in no-name Nazareth, conceived in a virgin mother. Is this any way for a God to act? Not if we ran the show, but we don't. This is the God who hides strength under weakness, life in death, the fullness of his divinity in his humility of a servant. Think of it. The infinite almighty God takes up comfortable residence in the womb of his human mother. The fullness of God dwells among us bodily. If they had ultrasound back then, you couldn't tell his picture from any other baby boy. No halo around his head. No divine glow. Just a baby boy. The virgin son. God's son. Here, we must trust our ears instead of our eyes. Let it be to me according to your word, Mary said. So trust the word. It's a good preparation for Christmas. There won't be much more for us to see then. A baby in swaddling cloths lying in an animal's feed box. Today, a pregnant virgin. But today, you are invited, urged, exhorted to close your eyes and open your ears. A virgin will conceive and bear a son. It happened, just as God had said. David's greater son sits on David's throne forever. Even now, as we speak, King of kings and Lord of lords, holding your humanity perfectly before the Father, just as God had said. Our eyes see a splash of water, a preacher, a bit of bread and a little wine. But the word of God speaks what we cannot see. That baptism, that water is baptism. A life-giving water full of grace, a water of rebirth and renewal. That preacher speaks real forgiveness, Christ's forgiveness. That bread is the body of Christ, conceived and born of Mary, given into death on the cross. That wine is his blood, poured out for you. A virgin conceives the Son of God. Sinners like you and me are forgiven in Jesus. The dead are raised in Jesus. You are favored by God in Jesus. The Lord is with you. Nothing is impossible with God. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret from long ages, but now has been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith to the only wise God, be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.